Few agencies have been busier than Customs and Border Protection. Its global entry program just enrolled its 2 millionth member. The agency is on the front lines of President Obama's executive action on immigration. And with summer approaching, CBP agents are on alert for another possible influx of illegal immigrants from South America. Overseeing day-to-day operations is the newly appointed or newly sworn in Deputy Commissioner, Kevin McAleenan, who joins us now. Mr. McAleenan, great to have you on.
Great to be on. I hope everybody's driving safe out there. Interesting morning.
Well, it is, but we drive before the traffic, so we don't get caught in it here in early morning radio. So listen, you are the new Deputy Commissioner. Give us a sense of the scope of your duties there. You've got a long history at the agency.
Absolutely. Well, you outlined a few of the elements that we're addressing. Pretty broad scope. Largest law enforcement agency in the United States, 60,000 strong. Our responsibilities cover the ports of entry of the U.S., all the trade and travel coming through via air, land, and sea, as well as protecting our land borders between ports and entry and running an air marine operation with 270 aircraft and over 200 vessels protecting our coastal waters. So it's pretty broad.
All right, so what are your priorities now that you have been sworn in?
Well, we have essentially two priorities at all times. First, to effectively carry out our duties as the guardians of our nation's borders. And secondly, to really provide that gateway to the U.S. economy, to welcome arriving travelers, to speed that trade that's so critical that's crossing our borders. And that'll remain our touchstone and our highest priorities. As chief operating officer, though, for CBP, my goal is to get the right tools and equipment and training in the hands of our men and women to carry out those duties.
All right, so let's talk about port security for a minute, getting away from the airports and so forth and the border crossings. That's an area that doesn't get as much attention, but yet, you know, with all the amount of trade that does go on, and we could see last, a few weeks ago, what could happen if a port is shut down, in that case by labor dispute. What is the status of port security? How is all the ability to screen the cargo coming along?
That's actually one of our strongest areas. Global supply chain security has been an interagency effort across the U.S. government since 9/11. Some of our broadest programs attacking that challenge have been in place really since and shortly after September 11th and the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. We start looking at threats presented by trade and cargo coming into the U.S. from its earliest possible point before it's even laden on a vessel destined for the United States. And working with our partners at U.S. Coast Guard, with the trade community through our Customs Trade Partnership Against Terrorism, we have really good visibility into that supply chain and everything headed toward us. And then again, our partners at the Coast Guard do a great job as those large vessels approach the United States coastline in helping secure anything happening with the vessel or crew itself.
And so do you feel this program can scale? I'm thinking of the Trans-Pacific Initiative, if that ever becomes the law of the land, and that could lead into to a big increase in trade at the biggest ports. So do you look ahead to how that growth might happen and how you could handle it?
We do, absolutely. And we think that we have the right systems in place, both to analyze that trade data coming toward us, as well as to physically process the cargo, ensure it's screened for radiological and nuclear threats, as well as being able to scan large volumes of containers with non-intrusive inspection technology. So we have the right regime in place to be ready for significant growth in trade. The trade enforcement area is also a huge focus, intellectual property rights, any sort of trade fraud that we can encounter, and we work hard to be ready on those issues as well.
All right, let's talk briefly about global entry, because that was something, a press release the agency just put out, that 2 million people have joined. These are people, Americans mostly, that travel overseas.
Absolutely. That global entry is one of our most valuable programs, both for expediting travel and for enhancing the security of our arrivals process. 2 million was a huge goal for us. Just a few years ago, we had fewer than 100,000 people in global entry. Working with our partners in the air carrier industry, American Express and others, we worked very hard to promote the program, to explain how our frequent travelers could benefit from a really limited touch process at the border. They use an automated kiosk after they do a background check and an interview with us. So we've kind of done an advanced primary inspection, so they're able to speed their arrival in the U.S. It's also connected to TSA's pre-check program to provide domestic clearance benefits as well.
So if you have global entry clearance, then you also have pre-check?
Correct.
So I guess it pays to go for the global entry, even if you don't plan on going to Dubai or anything anytime soon.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to travel even one or two times in the next 5 years, to go for both programs seems to be the better investment.
All right. So I want to talk about the border and the southern border. Last summer, it was quite a difficult circumstance for CBP. And it appears that, this kind of activity is seasonal. Are you preparing, or what do you anticipate happening on the southern border this coming summer?
Well, you're absolutely right. It was a challenging humanitarian situation, not really a border security challenge, but a humanitarian challenge last year. And what Secretary Johnson did was mobilize the interagency process, our partners at Health and Human Services as well as FEMA, to make sure that whole system was ready for additional arrivals. We are currently on our toes, monitoring all the information, working with our partners in the government of Mexico, looking at conditions in Central America, and trying to assess whether we're going to see another increase. The signs are not suggesting that at this point. But we're ready. We're going to have a lot better response in the early weeks if it does tick up again this year.
I mean, what are the lessons learned from last summer? Because I think there were quite a numerous set of circumstances that you had to deal with.
The key lesson learned is having the capacity in the entire process. When we're dealing with children, the key thing is their safety and their care. So we don't want them in a process in a Border Patrol station for a long period of time. We want to get them to Health and Human Services, to the right type of facilities and the right type of care providers that can protect them and meet their needs educationally and in terms of the comfort level. So really what we needed to do is have that part of the system ready for a significant growth. We held up our end of the responsibilities at the border, and I'm extremely proud of our Border Patrol agents and the way they dealt with this challenge, taking care of these kids and these families. But what we need is to have the readiness across the spectrum.
We're speaking with Kevin McAleenan. He is the new Deputy Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. And, of course, CBP has gotten orders right from the Homeland Security Secretary a few weeks ago regarding President Obama's executive orders on immigration, executive action on immigration. And at first glance, they seem to run counter to what a law enforcement agent would normally be expected to do. How is that playing on the ranks, and how do you make sure that the rank-and-file officers, that you have those 60,000 people on the front line, are okay with what they're supposed to be doing?
Absolutely. Well, for us, there's a very limited impact really at the border. Our border security mission remains just as it was before the executive actions. We are trying to identify and interdict anybody crossing the border between ports of entry unlawfully. That's been our mission. It remains our mission. What the executive actions do that are helpful for law enforcement, even at the border, is help prioritize the removal and court resources for those biggest threats, those criminal individuals who have been convicted of a crime or present a threat to the U.S., and those recent border crossers, those folks that our Border Patrol agents are catching in the process of crossing.
So it's probably the ICE agents that are getting the bigger impact from the change in procedures than CBP?
I think it's helping them prioritize their workload.
Okay, and any reaction that you're getting from the officers?
Well, you're right. Anytime there's a policy change, we have a responsibility to explain what's happening to our workforce. So we did broad training on the changes. Again, very limited impact in how we carry out our procedures. A tiny, tiny percentage of the folks that we apprehend would even be relevant for the programs.
Okay. And then another issue I wanted to ask you about is the new system for dealing with the administrative pay, the uncontrollable administrative pay. Now there are new sort of bands of numbers of work versus salary that CBP agents are under. How is that implementation rolling out, and how do people seem to be accepting the new hours and salary plan that replaces the administrative uncontrolled overtime?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's been a challenging area over the past year, really finding the shortcomings in the administratively uncontrollable overtime system, a pay system that existed for about 50 years but wasn't really tailored to the way that it was being applied in CBP and some other agencies. So we worked with Congress, through the administration with Congress, with our workforce to design a new pay system for Border Patrol agents, Border Patrol Agent Pay Reform Act, that will maximize the number number of operational hours and respect and support our agents with the appropriate salary for the risky and difficult work they do on the front line. So we're in the process of doing that transition now. It requires regulation to implement the statute. Some of your listeners, since this is an expert federal news radio crowd, will understand that process, and that'll take probably over a year. But in the interim, we're already making changes in how we administer our day-to-day overtime to get ready for that new system.
Now, you have done some work in counterterrorism and developing policies for that, right, and going back to the aftermath of 9/11. Now that you are deputy commissioner, do you find the urge to get the heck out of Washington and back down where the folks are?
You got it. It's the best place to be, and I was a port director out in Los Angeles, is out in the field with the men and women who are doing the job every day. That's my source of inspiration, and that's a great thing to see for the American people and the highly trained and outstanding professionals that are protecting them. But I do realize as a deputy, I have to hold down the fort here in Washington and try to support them on the administrative side and also make sure that we're ready operationally for counterterrorism issues, as you noted, transnational organized crime, and really that role we have in facilitating our economic growth.
All right. Well, keep your boots shiny and your hat brushed. Kevin McAleena is Deputy Commissioner for U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a good day.